Some mysteries don't want to be solved. They don't just hide, they follow you back. It started with an email from a man who didn't exist. A house in the Appalachian Hills. A mine that shouldn't be opened. A family terrorized by something in the dark. Tiny, glowing-eyed figures tapping at the windows. Claw marks on the doors. Footprints, three-toed, inhuman. And then, the man who reported it vanished. No records, no past, like he was never there. Years later, the case is reopened. But the deeper investigators dig, the more the mystery fights back. It's not just the creatures, it's the coincidences, numbers, names, and symbols appearing where they shouldn't. It's the locals who pretend the town doesn't exist. It's the feeling that something is watching. And the worst part? The deeper you look, the more it looks back. Some doors aren't meant to be opened. This isn't a ghost story. This is Hellier. It started with an email. Greg Newkirk wasn't just some random guy. He was a paranormal investigator, a researcher, a guy who had spent years diving into the strangest, most unexplainable cases he could find. But even he wasn't ready for what came next. The subject line? Urgent. Please read. Inside the message was short, desperate. You don't know me, but I need help. The sender? A man named David Christie. A man who claimed that something was coming out of the mines near his house. Something not human. At first, Greg thought it was a hoax. Until he read the next part. David's family had been terrorized for months. It started with strange noises, scratching on the walls, tapping at the windows. Then came the footprints, small three-toed prints in the mud outside his house. And then the night it got worse. David wrote that he woke up to the sound of his daughter screaming. He ran to her room, and something was standing outside her window. Not a person, not an animal. Something small, pale, and wrong. It didn't move like it should. It didn't blink. It just watched. And then it vanished. Greg had seen a lot of weird things in his career. But something about this email felt different. The details, the urgency. The fact that David wasn't asking for publicity. He just wanted help. So, Greg and his team started looking into it. And that's when they found something they didn't expect. Something impossible. The creatures David described? They weren't new. They were an exact match for a case from 1955. The Kelly Hopkinsville encounter. The story of a Kentucky family under siege by small, humanoid creatures. Glowing eyes, thin limbs, inhuman speed. The same details. The same state. Separated by nearly 60 years. That's when they decided. They had to go to Hellier, Kentucky. They had to see for themselves. But when they arrived, David Christie was gone. His house, empty. His records, didn't exist. It was like he had never been there. And that was only the beginning. Because the deeper they dug, the more the mystery fought back. The coincidences became impossible. Numbers, names, symbols appearing everywhere they looked. Almost as if something wanted them to keep going. And if that's true, then the question isn't just what's in the mines. It's who or what is leading them there. And worse, why? To understand Hellier, you have to understand Appalachia. This isn't just any town. It's a place where mountains swallow secrets, where things disappear and nobody asks why. The roads twist like veins through endless dark forests. Some lead to forgotten towns, others lead nowhere at all. And deep beneath it all, mines. Abandoned tunnels that go on for miles. Tunnels where people say things live. Things that aren't supposed to exist. Greg Newkirk and his team didn't know what they were walking into. They just knew that David Christie had vanished. And his last known location? A place called Hellier, Kentucky. At first, Hellier felt like any other small town. Dusty roads, old buildings, people who didn't like strangers asking questions. But something was off. The locals were too quiet. Some acted like the town didn't exist at all. Others refused to talk about David Christie at all. And then there were the warnings. Subtle, unspoken. The kind of silence that means more than words ever could.
Oh yeah, nothing says normal town, like people pretending it isn't there. That's not cult behavior at all.
At first, Greg thought maybe it was just small-town paranoia. People not wanting outsiders poking around.
Right. Because nothing about this screams, outsiders don't come back.
And then the coincidences started. Too many. Too perfect. Numbers repeating over and over. Names from decades-old cases showing up in modern documents. Symbols appearing in places they shouldn't be. Greg and his team weren't just investigating a mystery. It was pulling them in, almost as if something was leading them. Something that didn't just want to be found. Something that wanted them to keep looking. The first reports were easy to ignore. Locals dismissed them as backwoods ghost stories. Stories meant to keep kids from wandering too far into the mines. But then the sightings started piling up. Different people, different locations, all describing the same thing. It always started the same way. A strange noise outside. A faint tapping on a window. A shadow, small, but unmistakably human-shaped. Then came the footprints. Tiny, three-toed. Pressed deep into the mud, as if whatever left them was heavier than it should be. And then came the night it got worse. David Christie's email detailed what happened next. One night, his daughter woke up screaming. She said something was outside her window. David ran to her room. And there, standing just outside the glass, was a figure. Short, pale, thin. Its head was too large for its body. Its limbs were too long, and its eyes reflected the light like an animal's. But it wasn't an animal. It wasn't human either. And the way it moved? Too fast, too smooth. Like it wasn't walking, it was gliding. Then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it was gone. David grabbed his rifle and ran outside. Nothing, just the footprints. And the feeling that something was still watching. From the trees, from the mines, from the dark.
Yeah, that's when you burn your house down and move to a new state.
David thought about it, but the problem wasn't the house.
Of course not, because if horror movies have taught me anything, it's that the problem is never just the house.
The sightings continued. Neighbors started reporting similar things. Footsteps outside their homes, windows rattling but no wind, strange figures at the edge of the woods, watching, waiting, like they were looking for something, or worse, like they were making sure no one left. Greg Newkirk and his team expected resistance. Hellier was small, isolated. A place where people don't take kindly to outsiders asking questions. But what they found? It wasn't just resistance. It was avoidance. The locals weren't just reluctant to talk. They acted like the town itself didn't exist. Ask someone about Hellier? They'd just shrug. Ask about the mines? A shake of the head. Ask about David Christie? That's when the mood changed. A tightening of the jaw. A nervous glance toward the door. And always the same answer. I don't know that name. Then, silence. And then the conversation was over.
Oh, yeah. I love it when an entire town acts like a dude they definitely knew just never existed. That's not suspicious at all.
The team expected pushback, but this wasn't just pushback. It felt scripted, like everyone was following some kind of unspoken rule.
Right, because when everyone in town is in on the same secret, that secret is never good news.
Then the strange events started. GPS devices glitching, phone calls dropping at key moments, camera batteries draining like something was siphoning the energy. At first, it seemed like coincidence, but then the team's dreams changed. And this was the part no one could explain. Every night, they had the same dream, a dark tunnel stretching endlessly, a feeling of something waiting at the end. And just before waking up, a phrase, three words whispered in the dark, "Don't go deeper." And then the biggest hit. One of the team members woke up with mud on their hands, like they had been somewhere else while they slept.
Okay. Nope. That's a hard nope from me. Either you're sleep digging, or something is pulling you out of bed and putting you somewhere you don't belong.
But here's the real question. Was this something paranormal, or was this something human?
Exactly. Because this is what intelligence agencies do. The CIA literally ran tests on remote influence, seeing if people could be induced into doing things without realizing it.
And what's underground in Hellier?
A lot of nothing. And a whole lot of places to hide a government experiment.
At first, this seemed like a conspiracy thinking. But then the team learned about Kentucky's history. And suddenly, it wasn't crazy anymore. Kentucky was a government testing ground. It had been for decades. Back in the 1950s, the CIA ran MKUltra experiments in Lexington, Kentucky. They tested LSD, hypnosis, and psychological conditioning. They altered memories, manipulated dreams, and attempted remote influence. They wanted to know if thoughts could be controlled, even from a distance. And now, in Hellier, Greg's team was having the same experiences MKUltra test subjects described decades earlier. Then there was the Kelly-Hopkinsville connection. In 1955, a Kentucky family reported small, goblin-like creatures surrounding their house. The creatures were eerily similar to the ones described in David Christie's original emails. Official reports dismissed it as owls or misidentification. But here's the thing. The Kelly-Hopkinsville farm was only a few hours from Hellier. And if these creatures weren't just hallucinations, if they were real, then that meant Hellier wasn't an isolated case. It was part of a pattern. Then came the final realization. Kentucky had rumored underground military facilities, silos, caves, secret structures that don't appear on official maps. Some researchers believe hidden sites exist all across the U.S., many disguised as abandoned mines. And Hellier? It had plenty of abandoned mines. So here's what we know. MKUltra happened in Kentucky. The Kelly-Hopkinsville goblins match Hellier's descriptions. Kentucky is rumored to have underground military sites. If you connect the dots, then the Hellier mystery stops being paranormal and starts looking like a controlled experiment. Someone or something was messing with Greg's team. And the deeper they went, the clearer it became. They were never meant to find the truth, because the truth wasn't just hidden, it was protected. Every mystery has a beginning. For Hellier, that beginning was an email. An email from a man named David Christie. A man who, according to records, doesn't exist. Christie claimed his home in rural Kentucky was under siege by creatures that shouldn't be real. Small humanoid figures, hairless, glowing eyes in the dark. They sound like UFO aliens. They came at night. They peered through his windows. They scratched at his doors. And one evening, they tried to get inside. Christy begged for help. Then he vanished. No trace of him, no record of him, just a story left behind. And that should have been the end of it. But then another email came in, this time from a name buried in an esoteric book about UFOs and secret societies. A name that should have been fiction. A name that meant something. Terry R. Reist. Whoever he was, Reist wasn't just some scared witness. He was sending Greg's team directly into the caves, telling them to follow a trail they didn't even know existed. And that's where everything started to go wrong. Who was Terry R. Reist? If you search for Terry R. Reist, you won't find much. No birth records, no paper trail, but his name appears in exactly one place. A book called The Secret Cipher of the UFOnauts, written by Alan Greenfield, a Freemason, occultist, and UFO researcher. Greenfield's book claims that some UFOs aren't extraterrestrial, but interdimensional. That certain locations act as gateways. That rituals, symbols, and ciphers could be used to make contact. And buried inside that book? The name Terry R. Reist, a supposed former military operative who claimed to have taken part in underground combat missions against non-human entities. It was fiction, or so people thought, until the real Terry Reist sent an email to Greg.
Right, because totally normal people just randomly pick names out of secret esoteric texts when emailing strangers about cave goblins.
Either this was the work of someone deep inside an occult tradition, or it was a deliberate attempt to bait Greg's team into following a specific path.
Exactly. And if it was a baited path, then who laid it?
The symbols and numbers that keep appearing in Hellier? They weren't random. They lined up with Thelemic traditions, a magical belief system founded by Aleister Crowley. Crowley believed that certain rituals could open doors to non-human intelligences. He even claimed to have made contact with one of them, an entity named Lamb, who looked eerily similar to a modern gray alien. His followers took this seriously, and some of them, they weren't just occultists, they were intelligence agents.
Oh, good! So now we've got a perfect Venn diagram of Black Ops spooks, alien channelers, and people who think chanting the right word will summon a glowing space wizard. That's so much less terrifying.
But what if that's exactly the point? If you blur the line between mysticism and classified experiments, no one knows what's real anymore.
And if anyone figures out too much, you just call them crazy and move on.
If Hellier is part of a ritualistic pattern, then it wouldn't be the first time secret groups have used remote locations for esoteric practices. Let's talk about the Nine, a mysterious group that dates back to the 1950s, claiming contact with non-human intelligences. They believed these beings were the true rulers of Earth. They operated in secret, infiltrating UFO research groups. They claimed their knowledge was being passed down to a select few. And here's the kicker. Some of the most powerful figures in government, aerospace, and intelligence were rumored to be involved. Names like Andreja Pukharik, Gene Roddenberry, and even high-ranking military officials. If true, then Hellier might not just be a paranormal hotspot. It might be a chosen location, part of a long-term experiment to make contact with something ancient. The intelligence community has a history of infiltrating cults and fringe groups. Why? Because belief is power. If you control what people believe, you control what they see. Case in point, the Heaven's Gate cult, a UFO-based group convinced their followers to leave their human bodies behind to join an alien race. Their leader, Marshall Applewhite, claimed to be in contact with higher intelligences. Some researchers believe they were influenced by external psychological conditioning, potentially intelligence-backed. Now, here's where it gets disturbing. Hellier has the same hallmarks of a design belief system. A mysterious messenger, Terry Reist. Ritualistic patterns appearing in random places. A location with no documented history of these creatures until now.
So, let me get this straight. Either this is a long-term occult experiment, or the US government is testing how easily they can manufacture a paranormal event.
And if they control the event, they control the people experiencing it.
Which means Greg's team wasn't just investigating Hellier. They were part of the experiment.
Now, what if Hellier is a test site for a grander experiment? A test to see if a story could be crafted in real time. A test to see how reality could be manipulated through symbols and belief. A test to determine whether interdimensional contact could be engineered. And here's the most terrifying part. If Greg's team was being led by an invisible hand, then who is leading the rest of us? The deeper we go, the less this feels like a random haunting. It feels designed. But who or what is behind it? If Hellier was just one strange case, we could dismiss it. But it wasn't just Hellier. It was Hopkinsville in 1955. It was Point Pleasant in 1966. It was Skinwalker Ranch in the 1990s. It was a pattern that suggests we're dealing with something older than any of us. Something that doesn't just exist, it interacts. Something that isn't just watching, it's responding. For decades, when people saw strange creatures, they assumed aliens. But what if we've been asking the wrong question? What if these beings aren't from another planet, but from another layer of reality? This is where the ultra-terrestrial hypothesis comes in. The theory that these entities aren't visitors from space, they're something else. Something that's always been here. They don't arrive, they appear. They don't fly in, they step through. They don't just show up, they manifest based on who's looking. And here's the part that should make you very uncomfortable. These encounters, they always start the same way. Not with lights in the sky, but with a story.
Right. Because what's better than actual proof? Controlling the narrative. If these things show up only when people believe in them, it means someone or something is manufacturing belief itself.
And that's exactly the problem. What if we're not just observing the phenomenon? What if the phenomenon is observing us? Think about it. The Hellier creatures weren't new. People had seen them before. In 1955, the Hopkinsville goblins were described as small, glowing-eyed entities, able to appear and disappear at will. Bulletproof, because nothing physical ever seemed to hit them. Sound familiar? It should. Because that's exactly what David Christie described in Hellier. And that's not all. In 1973, a wave of small humanoid encounters hit rural Pennsylvania. In the 1980s, goblins were reported near Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, the largest cave system in the world. In 2004, a man in Indiana reported glowing-eyed figures watching him from a cave. The same descriptions, the same reactions, the same game of hide-and-seek. These beings don't invade. They hint. They provoke. And when people start looking for them, that's when they really start showing up.
Oh, great. So basically, the more we look into them, the closer they get. That's super reassuring.
It's not just that they get closer. It's that the experience changes depending on who's looking.
Which means we're not hunting them. They're hunting us.
Here's a detail no one talks about. Most major goblin or cryptid cases, they happen near cave systems. Hellier, a cave town. Hopkinsville, close to an underground river system. Mammoth Cave, the largest underground network in the U.S. Even Skinwalker Ranch, known for high strangeness, has cave-like tunnels running beneath it. So what if these creatures aren't coming from the sky, but from below? What if caves aren't just holes in the ground? What if they're entry points, or worse, what if they're exits?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and vote for never going into an unmarked cave in Kentucky. Ever. Nothing good has ever come out of that decision.
But that's exactly the point. The caves aren't just physical locations. They're lures. And if something wants people to go in...
then the real question is, why?
This is where the entire investigation gets uncomfortable. Because Greg's team didn't just discover Hellier. It feels like they were led to it. The David Christie email came from someone who vanished. The Terry Reist email nudged them into an occult-coded mystery. The caves kept appearing as the next step in the puzzle. At every turn, something was guiding them deeper. So here's the real question. Was Hellier a haunting, or was it a designed experiment? So here's where we hit the big question. Was Hellier real? Not just in the something weird happened kind of way. Was this an actual event? Or was it something else? Something designed? What we know for sure. Let's break this down into cold hard facts. Greg Newkirk and his team received real emails from real people. David Christie's email? Real. Terry Reist's email? Real. The Hellier creatures matched previous encounters. The Hopkinsville Goblins of 1955? Same description. The Mammoth Cave entities of the 1980s? Same description. The Indiana Cave Watchers from 2004? Same description. The locations were real. The caves exist. The symbols found on site matched real Thelemic occult symbols. The numbers and phrases traced back to actual esoteric texts. So something happened. But here's where things get murky. The moment Greg's team arrived in Hellier, everything changed. Their experiences became more psychological than physical. They found strange patterns, but nothing tangible. Every time they thought they were getting close, the mystery shifted. And that's exactly how a psychological operation works.
Oh, fantastic! So either we're dealing with actual goblins, or we're dealing with government spooks playing puppet master in the shadows. Both are great options.
And here's where it gets even worse. Because if this was a setup, it wasn't just designed to manipulate Greg's team. It was designed to manipulate everyone watching. So what in the heck happened to David Christie? Let's talk about the man who started it all, David Christie. He was the first breadcrumb, the entire reason Greg and his team went to Hellier. And then he vanished. No more emails, no more messages, no more anything. And here's what should make you uneasy. For a man who allegedly lived in Hellier, there's no trace of him. No real estate records, no employment history, no digital footprint. It's like he never existed. And that leaves us with three possible explanations. One, he was real, but ran, got the heck out of there. If Hellier was real, maybe Christie got too close to something dangerous. If he felt threatened, he might have deliberately disappeared. Or maybe he didn't disappear by choice. Two, he was an alias. If Hellier was a psychological experiment, Christie may have been a manufactured persona, a name designed to lure Greg's team into the mystery. If so, who created him and why? Three, he was bait in an intelligence operation. If intelligence agencies have experimented on belief systems before, could this have been a modern version of the Philip experiment? A false mystery designed to see if investigators could be led deeper into something that never existed.
Great. So either he's dead, he's fake, or the government set up a Scooby-Doo mystery for its own amusement. Really glad we solved this.
And here's the worst part. If this was staged, then whoever did it is still watching. Because Hellier didn't end. It just got bigger. All right. Now, was Hellier a designed psychological experiment? What if Hellier wasn't the event? What if Greg's team was the event? Think about it. Greg and his team were led through a sequence of steps. Every new clue felt like it was waiting for them to arrive. The phenomenon seemed to react to their thoughts. This mirrors a very real psychological experiment known as the Philip experiment, which I have created a video about and you can find in the comments section below. In the 1970s, a group of paranormal researchers allegedly created a ghost. They wrote a backstory for a fictional spirit. They gave it a name. They held seances, pretending he was real. And then, allegedly, the ghost actually appeared. The experiment proved that belief itself could manifest a paranormal experience. So what if Hellier was an intelligence-backed version of that experiment? What if Greg's team was brought in as test subjects, not to discover the phenomenon, but to create it?
Right. So we're not looking for ghosts. We're looking for thought viruses planted in people's heads. That's so much worse.
And it gets even worse, because the people running these kinds of experiments, they've been doing it for decades. So what about the real intelligence connection? Here's what people don't talk about. There's historical proof that the U.S. intelligence community has been experimenting on how belief shapes reality. Some of the biggest cases? MKUltra, 1950s to 1970s. Covert CIA program testing, mind control, hypnosis, and psychological conditioning. Conducted experiments in Kentucky, including at the Federal Medical Center in Lexington. Then you have Project Stargate, from the 1970s to the 1990s. This was a CIA-backed program studying remote viewing and psychic phenomena. They attempted to weaponize consciousness for intelligence gathering. Then we have the Nine, from the 1950s to present. It's a secretive group claiming contact with non-human intelligences. Some members had ties to government think tanks and military research. These projects blur the line between intelligence, the paranormal, and psychological operations. And Hellier? It matches the exact same patterns. Psychological manipulation through belief systems. Anomalies that seem to respond to human interaction. A trail of breadcrumbs leading investigators deeper, but never to a resolution. So what if the Hellier phenomenon is being actively studied? Or worse, what if it's being controlled?
Yeah, okay. So either the government is playing the X-Files in real time, or there's actually something out there screwing with us on a fundamental level. Either way, I hate it.
But here's a question we really need to be asking. If this is an experiment, then what are they trying to prove? Hellier was supposed to be a haunting. A simple mystery. Matter of fact, many YouTube channels out there, you're going to find exactly that, a haunting. It was supposed to be a case of strange lights, eerie caves, and whispers of something lurking in the dark. Instead, it became something much bigger, an unraveling. A case that didn't just expose a mystery, it became a part of one. And what about Greg Newkirk and his team? After 5 years of research, what happened to them? Here's what's strange. Greg still believes something real happened. He still believes Hellier was important. But even he admits he doesn't know what it was. And here's what's unsettling. They never went back. Even with all the unanswered questions, Greg's team left Hellier behind. No follow-up investigation. No deeper exploration into the caves. No return trips. Which leaves us with two possibilities. One, they found something and were told to stop. Maybe Greg's team got closer to something classified. If Hellier was a designed experiment, maybe someone ended it. Or two, they realized the mystery was an illusion. Maybe after years of searching, Greg realized Hellier wasn't real. Not in the way they thought. Maybe they were the ones being studied all along. So let's ask the final question. If Hellier was just another cryptid story, why does it still feel unfinished? Here's what we know. David Christie started it, then he vanished. Terry Reist guided Greg's team. But who or what was he really? The caves were real, but were they a hiding place or a trap? The symbols were real, and they led back to intelligence circles and occult groups. The phenomenon responded to belief, but was that because it was paranormal? Or because someone was shaping the narrative? And the biggest question, was Hellier an authentic case of high strangeness? Or was Greg's team set up from the beginning? Because here's what should make you very, very uncomfortable. Hellier didn't end. The mystery never closed. And if this was an experiment, then it's still running. Because the moment you start looking into Hellier, Hellier starts looking back.
Oh, great. So what you're saying is, we're not watching the mystery. We're in it. Cool. No notes. Love that for us.
And that's exactly the problem. Hellier was never about answers. It was about leading us deeper. And now we have to ask, was it ever about goblins at all? Or was it about controlling belief itself? There are some mysteries you chase, and then there are the ones that pull you in. The ones that don't let you leave. Hellier wasn't a story, it was an event. Not just for Greg's team, not just for the people who followed it, but for anyone who even dares to look into it. Because Hellier isn't just a town, it's an idea. And ideas, the right ones, the dangerous ones, don't die. We started this journey chasing something simple. A cryptid case, a weird email, a set of caves. But Hellier never fit neatly into one category. Was it paranormal? Was it a psychological operation? Was it a test of belief itself? And then you realize something. That's the point. The real phenomenon isn't the goblins. It isn't even the intelligence connections. The real phenomenon is you. The second you look at Hellier, Hellier starts looking back. The second you start asking questions, you become part of it. And that's when you realize this was never about solving the mystery. This was about seeing how deep you would go. How much of yourself you were willing to lose. How much of your reality you were willing to question. Somewhere out there, make no mistake about it, someone knows the truth. Maybe they're watching this right now. Maybe they're smiling because we got close. Maybe they're laughing because we never stood a chance. Because that's the nature of true mysteries. They don't have endings. They evolve. And that's why Hellier never stopped. It just changed form. And if you think this case is done, let me ask you something. Are you sure? Are you sure you chose to watch this video? Are you sure you weren't led here? Are you sure that somewhere right now, something isn't waiting for you to go just one step further? Because if Hellier is real, then maybe this isn't just a story. Maybe it's a signal. Maybe it's a door. And now, you're the one standing in front of it. So tell me, do you open it? Thanks for watching. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, who's still salty about humanity, and this has been another wild ride on Divergent Files. If you laughed, learned something, or didn't just totally hate this, hit like, subscribe, and all the buttons down there that appease the almighty algorithm masters. Because boy, they haven't been nice to our channel or our niche. Do you want to go deeper? Here's the deal. YouTube doesn't cover anything. No sponsors, no corporate backing, just us making this happen with your support. If you want more deep dives, wilder topics, and to help keep this channel alive, join our crew for as little as $3 a month. You'll get behind-the-scenes chaos, early access, and extended episodes, stuff too wild for the main channel. Head over to patreon.com/divergentfiles. Listen, the world is strange. The story's even crazier. And we're just here trying to make sense of it all. Thanks for showing up, sticking around, and being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember, you are truly appreciated.
Like something's off, like there's a shadow just outside the light. They feed you answers, keep you numb, but the questions, man, they don't sleep at night. Turn the dial, crack the code. What if the stories were never just stories? What if the ghosts, the whispers, the things that you dream aren't echoes but memories? We ain't here to play it safe. We ain't here to close our eyes. Ralph's got the map, Wendell's got the match, so static calling from the past. Footsteps in an empty room, and a name you don't remember whispered in a voice you never knew. Flip the page, break the lock. What if the past ain't the past at all? What if we're seeing the future and just don't recognize the call? We ain't here to play it safe. We ain't here to close our eyes. Ralph's got the map, Wendell's got the match, so tell me, how deep will you dive? Like the past is reaching through the static, trying to remind you before we all go down.